Today we're going to do a little bit of a Christmas review, and we're going to start next week, as I mentioned. We're going to look at the letters of John, John 1, 2, and 3, or 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. So we're going to take a look today, and we're going to go to the book of Luke, because there's a few things I want to talk about. And, you know, as happens during Christmas time, you hear a lot of Christmas sermons, you hear a lot of Christmas stories. If you watched television at all this morning, or you watched it all this week, there'll be Christmas sermon after Christmas sermon after Christmas sermon. And so I want to, while we're going to read the Christmas story, there's really one part of it I want to focus on, because it goes along a little bit with what we did last week. You know, last week we talked about obedience. And we talked about how God wants us to be obedient. And He's told us that if we have faith and if we have trust, and we're obedient to His Word, then we will increase our trust in Him. And that increasing trust will increase our faith. And it's just an always growing cycle. And so we talked a lot about that and talked about how important it was to be obedient. And today we're going to look at chapter 2 of Luke, and that's the Christmas story or the Christmas narrative. But I want to ask you a question, and we'll read a little bit about this today. We've gone through Thanksgiving. We're approaching Christmas, and my question to you today is, what are you thankful for? You know, we talked today about all the problems we have. We have problems with our health. We have problems with friends that are in, you know, have financial difficulty. We have job losses. We have people that are suffering, you know, emotional pain or spiritual loss or all sorts of things. But I want to step back a little bit away from the focus on the problems that we have, and I want to step back and focus a little bit on thankfulness. And I want somebody to talk to me a little bit this morning about what it is you're thankful for.
Sorry to jump right in there, but the first thing that came to mind, thankful that I'm saved. When I was a kid, I was at first an agnostic and then an atheist. And it was hopeless. Life was hopeless. There was nothing at the end of life. It was just, you know, muddling through, and I still kind of muddle through sometimes, but it was, you know, being saved, I have a hope, I have a future, I know where I'm going when I die. You know, if I die without a penny, you know, I know I'm going to heaven. You know, God's not going to say, you know, you don't have enough money to get in, you don't have enough faith to get in. You know, just all you have to do is believe on Him, and that's what I'm most grateful for. And dying on the cross.
That's good. That's good.
I'm grateful for the Holy Word of God. Tell us how to live and what's going to happen in the future. We don't have to be afraid, but just the confidence.
So, you know, thankfulness for our salvation, thankfulness for the Word of God.
I'm thankful I have a church that loves their members. This is probably the first church that I've been in where I felt truly like people care about everybody. We've been in big churches, we've been in small churches, and it's been shallow. And this is a very deep church. So I'm very, very thankful that we were led here.
Okay.
I say amen to that.
Amen.
And our church family. That's all. That's all.
I think it's good that at least one time a year people realize just how many unfortunate people are out there and how many blessings you do have when you start, you know, seeing all these other stories and hearing all these other stories about job loss and all that, that at least it brings it to mind that one time a year that you need to think of others. It's probably the only time that so many people do, but at least we're drawn back around that one time a year.
Yeah.
I'm actually thankful for the peace of joy that I get from my religion. no matter what's happening in the world. There's always one crisis after another. A lot of people are really good at it. A lot of people are innocent. And a lot of people are really cruel. But yet, God protects us. He gives us the joy that we have that day. We can have it. It's free. You know, we, in spite of all that's going on, it's kind of peace. Someday.
Joy is an interesting thing to be thankful for. We're going to talk more about that. Randy?
The aspect of being saved is the most important is the Lord gives the Holy Spirit within us to teach us, to guide us. So without that, we wouldn't know the things we know about the whole thing and where we're going and what we're doing. The Holy Spirit is, to me, the most important thing of the whole day. To get through the day and get things done and make sure we're doing the right thing.
Well, you guys are good.
I'm thankful for God's sovereignty and his tranquility. I'm thankful for his unconditional love. I'm thankful that all I am, all I have belongs to him. It's a condition today.
Okay. Well, this is a spiritual group. GW.
I just want to give thanks to the Lord for what he's done in my life since I've been here. Because he's been the greatest 4.5 years I've ever had since I've been here. And I know God can use me in such a way that I can see the glory of what he's made from. And just to be able to come to know y'all in such a short period of time. And that's what it's thankful about. That God's still in the business of giving us glory and giving us this. Been with us all the time. I see it more in my life today than I ever saw it. And I'm thankful that I have a good health he's giving back. And I just want to serve him more and more every day. And that's what I'm thankful for.
That's great. Thank you.
Hey, I think with having trouble with it, you know, with where I live. And I know this boy, and I didn't know he could do that. You know, he come around and picked every bit of it and charged me nothing. We fed him and all like that. But I wasn't looking. I wasn't looking for that. But that's the life. God will take care of you. You'll keep your mouth shut. So. And I've been knowing that boy a long time. But I mean, he's good.
Amen. That's good.
That's right.
Thank you, Calvin. What else?
I'm thankful that we have such a great Sunday school
teacher.
Amen. Amen. Well, thanks.
Yeah. Thanks. I want to tell y'all a story about Jim. We were in a men's prayer breakfast.
You didn't clear this with me, did you?
No, I cleared this with Jim. But they took a cross and they passed it around to each one of us and asked us what we thought. Well, we all had something to say. When he came to Jim, he said, "I'm thankful it's empty." So that's Amen. The way I feel. I think that's the type of man we got for us.
I appreciate that. I'm thankful for you guys. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's not just our Christian brothers and sisters, but, you know, our friends that we're thankful for. And, you know, Vicki and I have had friends in every city we've lived in, but our closest friends have always been our church friends, you know, because they're the friends that we share so much with, you know, on a much deeper level. And we've got some great friends in this church, and we, you know, we love each and every one of you guys. Some of you probably a little more than others, but I'm just kidding. But you know,
you were doing great.
I'm doing great till then. But you know, friendships are important, and people, you know, who would do anything for you. Who would, you know, if you called them in the middle of the night and you needed somebody to run you to the hospital, they'd do that. If you needed somebody to help you in a troubling time, you've got people you could call who would do that. You know, we all have those kind of friends, hopefully. You know, certainly in our church we do. And those friends are more valuable than gold, really. They're more valuable. Can't maybe sell them for as much as gold, but they're more valuable than gold.
The other thing is the community is actually Dawsonville itself. Because, like we said, Elizabeth had that accident, and there was a sheriff or EMT, we don't know who it was, behind her, that took her and drove her, you know, off of the drive her back from, you know, 4 miles away back to there because he had a daughter her age and he cared and he loved. And I don't even know if he's a member of the church, but I mean, the community here is very loving. And you can feel it.
Yeah, and that's, you know, you get kindness from strangers is kind of a welcome thing sometimes. You know, you don't expect it. And when it happens, we're surprised sometimes. But, you know, God has a way of putting people in our path to help us. I mean, I remember, you know, we've talked about this before, but I remember when Mary Jo had her accident and that EMT that was behind her, or Angel, or whoever he was, crawled in the back of the car and held her head until the EMTs got there, and then he disappeared. And they didn't know who he was or where he came from. But, you know, his spot, his place, was to do what he did that day, and it made a difference. And I think we all get, you know, we all get in a spot sometimes where we need that kind of help, or we can provide that kind of help to someone else. And we should never fail to be thankful for that. I mean, it's easy to look around and say, you know, boy, the weather's nasty, we got a water leak in the house, you know, blah, blah. We could go on and on about all the problems that we have, you know, and we do. And we do. But the reality is, being thankful for what God has done for us is super, super important for us to think about and pray about. And no matter what's going on, we've got someone, something, some situation that we can just praise God for because of who He is. And I think about, our parents, our mothers and fathers who raised us. You know, I think about our spouses. You know, Vicki and I were talking about the other day. You know, we've got this little picture of our grandchildren. We'll have to show it to you. It's a little picture of all six of them sitting on our son's fireplace. And all six of them are smiling except Khaki, who's the little one. And her mouth is open and her hair is sticking out and she's squalling. And, of course, Carrie took that picture and she's got it. Her little caption is, you know, joy to the world, you know, and this little caption. But, you know, you think about that and you think about Vicki and I, Mary and Early, having two children, them getting married, having grandchildren. You know, and you think about the little things that happen in your life and, you know, where it comes from, and you just got to be thankful for all of it. You got to be thankful for your children. You got to be thankful for your grandchildren. You got to be thankful for their spouses, for your wife or your husband, for their parents, you know, who raised them. And we just, so many times during the day, you know, we just take all that stuff for granted. We don't even think about it. We just think, well, it was just, you know, happenstance. It's just, you know, two electrons meeting in time or whatever. And we don't really thank God for that. And we really need to do that. We need to step back. And I want to read part of Luke 2 because I want to focus on one verse, the two verses in there. But I'm going to read the Christmas story as we talk about it. So look in your Bible at Luke 2. It says, "In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and while everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph went up from the town of Nazareth to Galilee to Judea to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him, and she was expecting a child." We talked last week about obedience and about Joseph and about Mary. "While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the field nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be to all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find the baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom His favor rests.'" I want to stop there for a minute.
That's the true meaning of the Christmas story.
Christmas. And the one phrase I want to focus on is what the angels said to the shepherds. Because the angels, you know, picture the shepherds, and we saw them in the cantata. You know, the shepherds are minding their own business, you know, tending the sheep. And the angel Gabriel comes to them, and of course they're scared to death. You would be too. Out in the, you know, they probably are thinking, man, what did I eat? What was in the water that I just drank or whatever? And so they see this angel Gabriel, and angel Gabriel says to them, "Do not be afraid." And I think so many times in our lives, when God is about to give us good news, when God is about to share with us a blessing, we are afraid. You know, we want to hear the news, but we don't want to hear the news. We're afraid God is going to ask us to do something that he's been just waiting all along, and we're going to, you know, he's going to just get us, ask us to do something. And so we're sort of expecting that, but the angel says, "Do not be afraid, he's going to come."
I think in our media and stuff, the depictions of angels are pretty wimpy. I mean, when these shepherds saw the angel, if it was Gabriel means, I think, it doesn't mean man, God, or, you know, the Hebrew.
Yeah, the Hebrew is written
there. But it's what?
The last part, the L.
L is God. Gabriel, L.
Gabriel.
But they're much more powerful than we see. Usually you see this wimpy kind of, you know, almost effeminate guy, or even females that are proclaiming that Gabriel wasn't, you know, female in look to us. I don't know if they're androgynous in heaven or whatever it means. But for people to see something like that, I mean, the sounds and the light and everything, to see the glory, almost the glory of God, you know, for you to fall on your knees, I mean, it just, having a guy dressed in white coming and saying this stuff or floating up in the air, I just think we don't give credit to what the Bible was really trying to say. You know, it was really something awesome that happened.
It is, and they said the glory of the Lord shone round about them. So when the angel came, not only was the angel radiant, but the glory of God was around all the shepherds, and I'm sure they felt like, man,
if something knocks you to your knees and you can't even look at it, I mean, it's not what we've seen in the movies. I mean, to me, it would be, and for somebody to have to say, "Fear not," I mean, you know, or get some clean pants, you know, we'll start from new here.
Well, you can imagine they were terrified, you know, out in the middle of the woods and hills or whatever, and this happens. And he says, "Do not be afraid." And then what does he say in verse 10?
Good news.
I bring you good news of great joy for all people. And, you know, I think about, we talked about thankfulness. But what is the good news and the great joy of Christmas?
Future gospel.
I mean, the good news, angels are messengers, right? Angel means messenger. And so when they say an angel of the Lord, this is a messenger of the Lord. And so the messenger of the Lord is coming to deliver a message, and he's bringing them not bad news, he's bringing them good news. The word good news, we translate many times gospel. Gospel is the Greek word that means good news. So, you know, we think about gospel being the plan of salvation. It really means more than that. It really means the good news of the Lord, all-encompassing of the good news of the Lord. And so he says, "I bring you good news of great joy." And I think about thankfulness and joy, and I know there's a lot of people who have little joy this time of year. You know, it's a sad time for a lot of reasons. And we can talk about what they are, and missing a family, and, you know, old times, and all of that. But this time was never meant to be a time of sadness. It was meant to be a time of joy, good news and joy. And I guess what I want to think about is, not only are we thankful for all the things we talked about, and so many more things that we could be thankful about. You know, we're thankful that we have heat in our houses. We're thankful that we have food to go. We, you know, when we're hungry, we can go down to Kroger's and get something, or Ingles, or somewhere else. We don't have to, you know, take our bow and arrows and go out in the field you know, hunt for something. We may choose to do that, but we don't have to do that. You know, it's kind of scary to think where most children think food comes from. You know, they sort of think food comes from the grocery store instead of, you know, the plants and animals and the farms and all of the things. And that's a little bit of a delicate situation, you know, for most people, they, especially city folk, you know, they don't know what it means to live on a farm and, you know, kill an animal for meat or to hunt or anything like that, because that's not what they're used to. They think of the can opener and the, you know, the something to open the ham and the eggs in the little carton and, you know, all that stuff. You know,
was comment. I don't know if you were getting to it or if I'm jumping ahead, but in that statement, the angel gave a message to all people. He wasn't giving a specific message just to the Jews. He was very specific. He said, great joy, you know, to all people.
To all people. And, you know, let me just say, I'll put a plug in for something here. All through the Bible, when you read it, there are prophetic utterances. And this is a prophetic utterance. This is a prophetic utterance about what's to come. These shepherds don't know what's to come. Probably they weren't literate Bible scholars of the Old Testament. You know, they could probably not read everything they'd ever heard. You know, they were sort of the outcasts of the Jewish world. You know, the best they could do is get into the, you know, the court of the Jews on the outside, assuming they were all Jewish. But some of them may have been Bedouins. Who knows what they were? But, you know, they weren't like Paul. They weren't steeped in the Old Testament. But, you know, it's like I always think about the definition of quality. And people say, well, what's quality? Well, I don't know, but I know it when I see it. Well, it is, but I may not know God, but these angels knew him when they saw him. They knew that this angel was an angel of the Lord. They knew that this was so far out of the ordinary for them that they had been privileged to have a glimpse of the Lord. And of course, he brought them good news. And he goes on to explain what it is. The fact that it's for all people was totally lost on the Jews. And it had been lost on the Jews since the beginning of time, you know, when they started, you know, being the chosen people and their whole mission. If you look through the Old Testament, you see prophecies of Christ and the Messiah being for all people. But they didn't see that. He says, I bring you good news of joy for all people. Then in verse 11, it says, today, in the town of David, what? A Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Now, Christ is the word that we translate in our Bible. It's really the word Messiah, which is the Hebrew word for Christ. Christ is the Greek word for, actually, it's a more Latinized word for the Hebrew, the Greek word, for Christos, for the Greek word, for Messiah. But he says to them, the Messiah has been born. Well, if you're a Jew of any stripe, you've heard about the Messiah. You know the Messiah is the guy that's going to come and save them, and redeem the nation, and deliver them. And so it is good news for them to hear that the Savior has been born. So he, you know, he comes born to you. He is Christ. He is the Christ. He is the Messiah. He, the Lord. And the Lord means he is the master. He is the one. So, you know, the simple gospel message for these shepherds was that this Messiah that you've waited for your whole life, this Messiah you've heard about, has been born today. And I'm giving you a heads up. I'm giving you a little advance warning. I'm giving you a clue that this has just happened. This didn't happen years ago. This happened today. And born unto you a Savior. And, you know, we think about the word Savior, and there's three or four words that are very closely related to that. The word Savior, the word Deliverer, the word Redeemer are all words that are parallel to the word Savior. So for them, the idea of a Savior, it was a Deliverer. Somebody was to deliver them from the Romans, somebody that was to save them. They weren't thinking so much save them from their sins. They were thinking deliver them from, you know, this place they're in, deliver them from all of the problems they had. It was good news. It was glorious news. It was joyous news for them. And then he goes on to say, this will be a sign to you. you'll find the babe wrapped in cloths, swaddling clothes, if you want to look at it, you'll get it in translation, and lying in a manger. And so he not only tells them, but what is the sign? You know, if I said to you, Jesus, when he was here on earth, performed many signs and miracles. What is a sign in that respect? What does a sign mean?
Confirmation or...
Okay. In this case, it means confirmation or validation for them, right?
Proof.
Proof?
Direction.
Direction, okay.
It's actually almost like a moniker. This is the one. When you see these signs, he's the one.
Okay.
There'll be nobody else with that sign. Put them all together.
In the city of David, Savior, this is the way you'll identify him. This is the way you'll find him. You know, even today we drive down the road, and if you are a student of interstate highway signs, you know that blue signs are information signs. You know, gas, restaurants, rest stop. Brown signs are what? Historical, national parks, things like that. Mammoth Cave, brown signs. You know, green signs are highway signs. So even today, when we see a sign, certain clues about us tell us what it is. Not only does it say, you know, to go to Murfreesboro, Tennessee, you exit here and turn right. Not only does the sign say that, but the sign is not Murfreesboro, Tennessee, is it? It points us to where it is. So this sign is not in and of itself the Savior. This sign is the validation. It's the pointer. It's the confirmation that he is the Savior of the world. So, you know, the angel has given them all the information they need. And, of course, you know, they get, of course, suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appear praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men. I'll quote it the way it's normally quoted. This says, to peace to men on whom his favor rests. You know, so praising God is something angels do, is something the heavenly host does, and these shepherds were witness to that. And so I think you know, we see that the shepherds immediately, once this happens, the shepherds get up, and it says when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, kind of interesting little tidbits you pick up about this. The shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. The angel, you know, the angel didn't get the credit. The Lord got the credit. The angel was a messenger of the God. This was God's message, not an angel's message. We portray it as an angel's message, and it was an angel who was a messenger. But even the shepherds recognized this was God's message. And I think for us, you know, when we think about Christmas time, we think about angels, and we think about the nativity scene, and we think about all of the symbols of Christmas. But the good news of this, and the thanksgiving of this, and the joy of this is God's message to us. This is God's encouragement to us. This is God's message telling us to fear not, that he's in control, that I've got your back. I know what I'm doing. You just pay attention to me and do what I'm telling you to do. And that's a powerful message. You know, we don't often do that. You know, we kind of blindly go about our daily lives, living our lives as God has instructed us to do. But so many times, God is not a center focal of that. You know, we go about our lives, and every once in a while, we kind of dust God off, and we get him out, and we say a prayer to him. Are we asking for his help? Are we, you know, in times of distress, we thank him for certain things? But any of you watch Charles Stanley this morning? I know some of you do that. There's one thing I want to mention about Charles Stanley. It was a good service this morning, good message. It was about worship. And he said, worship is not going to church. Worship is not a certain style of music. Worship is not singing in the choir. Worship is not the preaching of the word. Worship is not the teaching of Sunday school. Worship is an attitude of our heart. And when we come to worship God, we have to come with the attitude of our heart that we're coming to receive God's blessing and we're going to worship Him. Not about us, it's about Him. And I think this story sort of points out again, the shepherds, this was not about them. This was about God. God had given them a message, and it was a powerful message. And they were thankful, they were interested, they were obedient, they trusted in God, and they were faithful to follow what God had asked them to do. So they got up, and right away, they moved to go see this thing that had happened. And of course, you know, they saw the glory of God, they saw angels of God, they heard, you know, the voice of Gabriel, all of which we would love to hear. I mean, wouldn't we all love to hear have Gabriel come sit in that seat and say something from the Lord for us, a word from the Lord? Well, I think we get that, by the way. We get that when the Holy Spirit speaks. We get that when we read the Bible. We get that when our mind is in tune with God and God comes back and talks to us. We get that through our prayer life. We get it through all of the ways God talks to us. We get that word of the Lord. Maybe not delivered by an angel. Although many of you, I know Vicki has heard audible voices. I mean, whether it's really audible or whether you hear it in your mind, it's audible to us. You know, if you've ever had an audible voice of the Lord, you never forget it. You never, because it stands out in your mind as something that was supernatural, something that I couldn't explain, something that did something for me, you know, told me and was true. And those are powerful. Okay.
More than a lot of people get.
Mike had an experience like that. It wasn't audible, it was physical. We were in church on a Easter Sunday, and we had been trying to have a baby for 10 years, and we had given up. We finally laid it on the altar and told God that it was in His hands, that we were not going to do anything more, that if it was His will, whatever way, we would follow it. And He had a child on His shirt during that service, like a little kid tugging on His shirt. He said to me, he said, "Did you just tug on my shirt?" And I said, "No." And he said, "I have a feeling we're going to have a baby this year." And we got our daughter in that July. So he's had that experience.
It was real. I mean, it was a real tug, not just like your shirt riding up on you. It was like a yank, you know, so, like daddy, you know, kind of thing. And
so
I thought she was messing with me. She wasn't. Yeah.
He was telling us because we had really given up.
And she was in her birth mother's womb at that time.
Well, you know, sometimes God waits until we have run out of all of our earthly options before He answers our prayer.
I think God waits until you say to Him, "I can't do this on my own. I need you to do this." And I think that's exactly where we got. After 10 years of trying on our own, we finally decided that it was not us that was going to make it happen. It was Him.
And joy and thankfulness in the Lord come from a reaffirmation of that trust that you place in Him. And that's, you know, that's a powerful thing for us. And so, as we go on to this, I'm gonna read one last verse. I'm gonna talk about it. So, the shepherds went and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby. They spread word about what had happened to them. And in verse 20, it says the shepherds returned back to their field, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen. And in the last part of this sentence is important, which were just as they had been told. You know, it's amazing, and again, a prophecy, that God tells us what He's doing. He tells us what He's done. He tells us what is happening now. He tells us what's going to happen. And we're surprised when it happens. But we really shouldn't be, because prophecy is an important part. I said I was going to put in a plug earlier. We're going to do a prophecy study after January, probably on a on a Thursday night, although we haven't worked out all the details yet. And it's important to understand that God honors His word. God tells us some things literally and fulfills them literally. 28%, I think, is the number in the Bible of recognized prophecies in the Bible, Old and New Testament, 28% of the Bible. If we weren't meant to understand and study prophecy, we wouldn't have 28% of the Bible being prophecy. And if it's in there, we ought to pay attention to it. You know, we're the only book of the Bible that we get a blessing for reading is the book of what? Revelation. And people look at it and say, I'm not going to read that. I don't understand it. We don't have to understand all of the prophecies of the Lord. But if we read them, we get a blessing from them, because as things begin to come to pass, we'll begin to say, wow, I'm going to go look something up real quick. You know, and you go back and you get that little reminder from the Holy Spirit. You know, do you remember that verse you read? Do you remember that story? Do you remember that thought you had? Prophecy is important. It was important at this time. These shepherds didn't know what this prophecy was, but they knew over time, because they had been told that he was going to be a savior, that he was going to be a deliverer, that he was going to save them from their sins. And so they believed that. They heard about the Messiah. And then all of a sudden, it's in their own mind, what they'd been told had come true exactly as they were told it. And so I want you to think about prophecy, because that's an important topic. We'll see a little bit of it in the three books of John that we're going to study. Anybody have any questions or comments? I have one more thing, if I can figure out what it is here to talk to. Anybody have any questions or comments?
Well, the only comment I have is that we're so accustomed to hearing the story and hearing that the babe was born in the manger. I think a lot of people, myself included, thought that's the way babies were born back then. You know, you're going to be, stuck in a manger or something like that. It'd be kind of like today having the angel come and say that you'll find the baby in a dumpster, wrapped in Kevlar, at the back of Walmart. It's something specific. It wasn't something usual. Babies were not born in out of the animals and stuff.
Well, we don't, we hear this story so much that it becomes familiar. And so many times, and the church is the worst about this, because we handle the Word of God and the sacred things of the Lord so much in our lives as we read and study, that we begin to take them for granted. We begin to take them for common, and they're not. We ought to always recognize that when we're reading the Word of God, we're actually reading the Word that God wanted us to read, the Word that has been delivered to us for our well-being and our satisfaction and our hope and our joy, not just some words written in a dusty old book that we're going to take off the shelf and read. And the church is the worst about this. We repeat phrases. If you sing the words Amazing Grace, and you sing those words, do you actually think about the words, a wretch like me, I once was blind and now I see? Do we actually think about those, or do we know the words and we just mouth them and we sing them because we know the words and the tune? I think this cantata was powerful this year, because if you listen to the words, you heard the complete gospel of the Lord presented, and you heard it presented in a very powerful way. If you just listened to the music, it was beautiful music, and the singers were good, but the words were important. And I think with all we do, the words are important. The words we pray, the words we hear, the words we read, because they, as they pass through our brain, they shouldn't just pass through and not make an impact. We ought to pass through. We ought to record what they're doing, think about them, and then let them pass through. They make an impact. When we do this first study of prophecy, I'm going to show a DVD that's about an hour long, maybe an hour and 15 minutes. And it's called Star of Bethlehem. Have any of you ever seen that? Okay. Well, don't look at it, because I'm going to show it to you. And what it is a discussion about literal fulfillment of prophecy. And it is a powerful story. It's not just made up. It's kind of a powerful story. And I think at the end of that, you will get a better appreciation for the value of prophecy in our life and what it will mean to you. We'll start at that. Anybody have any questions or comments or anything You want to say? I have other stuff to yak about too, but. So this Christmas, as we sit around the tree, as we read the Christmas story, as we watch children, loved ones open gifts, let's think about not just the sights and sounds and the paper and the plastic bag you put the paper in and what are we going to eat and when's dinner going to be ready and, you know, all of that. Let's think about the deeper side of it. Let's think more about the spiritual side of it and what it means to us. And, you know, are we grateful? Are we thankful? Has it been great joy? Is it good news to us? And are we thankful for that? Because I think that's the true Christmas, that we're thankful, we're joyful, that good news has made its way into our heart, and that we see the Lord for who he is. And I just think about the miraculous thing of God coming to earth and living as a human to save us and then dying on the cross. And, you know, the fact is he knew the cross was coming. He knew all about it before he came. It wasn't a big surprise to him. And so, you know, that's almost mind-boggling to think about the plan of that. So let's, if anybody didn't have any questions, let's have a word of prayer and then we'll dismiss. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for this miracle of Christmas. We thank you for the examples the shepherds give us, Lord, and being obedient, just being aware and awestruck, Lord, by your power and glory. Lord, help us always be thankful. Help us always be mindful of the miracle of Christmas. Help us always be have the simple joys of your love for us and our salvation and our need to be closer to you. Lord, help us during this time. Help all that are traveling to be safe. All the prayer requests, Lord, that we've lifted to you, we just lay them at your feet and ask you to be done. Lord, as we go to the service now, we ask your blessings on all that sing, all that speak. We ask your blessings on the pastor as he gives us the word you've given to him. Lord, we ask that it meet the need in every person's life who comes to hear and see, whether it be through the video or audio presentation, or a live and listening to it upstairs. Lord, we just pray that this would be a divine appointment. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you all.